First up this month, the problems that arise when politics mix with archaeology and heritage. The newspapers and TV media frequently cover the issues faced by the different groups of people living together in Israel. But what effect does this have on heritage? And whose heritage is it, anyway? Isabel Humphreys has spent several years living in Nazareth, studying the Palestinian communities there.
Okay, well, in 1948, that's the date that Israelis see as the establishment of their state. 1948 meant that more than 80% of Palestinians, that's Palestinian Muslims and Christians primarily, were displaced. Most of them were displaced across borders, whereas a small number actually remained inside what became the Israeli state and finally became Israeli citizens some months and years later.
And what did that mean for the people who were displaced within the state?
Okay, well, most people that I interviewed who were alive at that time told me that their knowledge of what had happened across the whole country was very sketchy, but what they knew was very specifically what had happened to them in their local area. They knew about their own displacement. Obviously, the people I was interviewing were still living today about 3 miles on average, some a little bit further, from their original sites. And they basically knew that they'd been moved on from there, and they heard rumours, or they had gone in the middle of the night, great danger to themselves, to have a look and see what was happening. But they'd been forbidden from travelling to those sites and going there.
And you've identified in your work several places where they have been forbidden to go, graveyards and sort of ruined villages. They're ruined now. Have there been any attempts for the people who were removed from these sites or barred access from these sites to go and visit since 1948?
Okay, so depending on how many houses you define as a village, but at least over 500 villages were destroyed across the area that became Israel in 1948. The people in Nazareth, where I was working, a third of those people were not from Nazareth, but were from villages, 3 villages around Nazareth. Those places today, largely accessible, but not to move back to. For 20 years during the military rule, these places were not accessible. And once they could see them again, they knew that these places had been destroyed, or people were living in the buildings or had taken over the area where the buildings were and it was privately fenced in. So a direct campaign to return now to those places was not seen as feasible for people. And they were also very aware of the all-encompassing power and control of the Israeli state around them, the state which technically they were citizens within. So when they started to think about how they could campaign and what they could do rather than direct, although they do directly speak about wanting the right of recognition and the right to return, in terms of tangible goals, they look at things like renovating holy sites, renovating graveyards, because these are things that people all over the world can identify with, specifically in parallel to, say, what Jews are concerned with their own heritage sites in other places, graveyards and holy places for Jews, synagogues for Muslims and Christians, obviously mosques and churches and other shrines. This is something that people across the world can identify with, and they felt that they could appeal to international law and some level of Israeli goodwill to try and at least have the right to renovate those places and to be able to visit them again.
So now, those places, who do they belong to now?
Those places are being contested in the court. If you ask Palestinians, there's no question if it's a mosque or a church, if we're talking about those buildings, there's not even a question about it, because why would Israelis, who are all Jewish unless they're Palestinian, why would they own a mosque? They didn't build it. Why would they want it? And many of these buildings are used as art galleries or even bars, which is extremely offensive for a religion that officially says that drinking is wrong. There would be private owners who are using them for other reasons who would say they're theirs. But in a sense, I don't think in an international community, I think on the level of mosques and churches, it's very difficult to defend that those belong to anyone other than those faith communities.
So that's the more recent Palestinian heritage, but what about the older stuff? What about the Roman sites which may exist within or around or even elsewhere in this area? I mean, how do they see the much older sites? Are they still part of their heritage?
obviously you have layers and layers of history in a region like the Middle East, where the water resources, the roads for travellers and so on, people would have travelled through there for so long. There's so many things that are there that are visible and things that are under the ground are not yet visible. Palestinians are not so concerned about having direct ownership over those. What they're concerned about is the promotion of one narrative, an Israeli Zionist narrative, and the funding and digging out simply of things which are defined as Jewish artefacts and then directly linked to a modern Israel, whereas an Israeli Zionist agenda is quite different from Jews in the past who lived in places, and they're one layer of a very rich and complex history. So Palestinians have no problem at all with tourists visiting, themselves visiting, Israelis visiting, any kind of history, but what they're asking is that it's not simply one narrative and one kind of history that is dug up. And another concern, obviously, is if, say, it's Roman history, Crusader history, Islamic history, a very rich Islamic history in the country, if that's dug up, it's not somehow used to cover up a Palestinian layer of history.
So what you're saying is they're worried about some kind of nationalist archaeology happening, which is something that happened in Yugoslavia a few years ago. But what do you see happening in the future? Do you have an optimistic or a pessimistic outlook on this?
Well, I'm afraid in terms of the whole region, I'm very pessimistic about it. I think that these issues of heritage are entirely tied up with the politics of the region. I think the fact that the Israelis want to put something like £100 million, rough equivalent, into developing a heritage trail. Netanyahu spoke about this in February at the prominent Herzliya conference, and that this would go through not only Palestinian areas that are inside 1948 Israel, but also through the West Bank and Gaza, occupied in 1967. Heritage is being used very politically, and both sides have recognised that it's political, but the problem is it's being promoted outside as apolitical. I think that's the problem, that it has to be recognised as what it is. For example, if you talk about the West Bank, talking about allowing access to sites in the West Bank sounds like, well, anybody should be able to visit heritage sites, but in reality it might turn out to be one stage of building a road that cuts through a Palestinian village that allows primarily right-wing settlers to visit a place, or to allow tourists to visit a place and then to be told only an Israeli agenda at a site which has a very complex history.
Isabel Humphreys, she's just completed her PhD at St Mary's College, University of Surrey.